Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Well, in this verse, we have a searching God. God is on the lookout. And in this verse, we have a scarce man. There is a breach in the wall of Jerusalem, and God is looking or heading for it to enter the city and destroy it. And as he approached it, he is hoping that someone will stand in the gap and say to him, "You'll do it, but you'll do it over my dead body." But he found no one. And there is a need today for men, for fathers, to stand in the gap. Being a man, functioning as a man, taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, acting like a man, working like a man, all of these are prerequisites to being a good father. And if we're going to be good fathers, we need, first of all, to be good men. And I thank God for the good men and the good fathers that we have here at the Regency, a Church of Christ. Now, I realize that men don't always say what they mean. This is from the Men's Dictionary, and ladies, let me translate for your benefit. When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," he means, "I have no idea how it works." When a man says, "Take a break, honey, you are working too hard," he means, "I can hear the game over the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "That's interesting, dear," he means, "Are you still talking?" When a man says, "I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are," he means no one will ever see us alive again. I recall that was one of my dad's favorite expressions. "We're not lost. Dad, I think we made it wrong. No, we're not lost at all." I mean, he would not admit that he was lost or that he had taken maybe a wrong turn. But today is Father's Day, and I want to issue some challenges for all the fathers who have gathered here this morning. Now, I realize Father's Day can be a day that we think about some fathers who have gone on to be, you know, with the Lord, and so it can be an emotional kind of day. But I do want to issue these challenges to the fathers who have gathered here this morning. And number one is the challenge to love. A father, of course, loves his family. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul gives some characteristics of love. Love is patient. Love is kind, it is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. So 9 qualities, 7 negative, 2 positive. Paul says that love is patient and love is kind. And I believe that we could put this text into some form of some questions. Am I really patient? Do I give up too easily sometime? Do I control my anger? Am I kind? Do I care for others more than myself? Am I envious? Do I want what others have? Am I boastful? Am I rude? Do I force myself on others? Do I insist on my own way? Am I one of those me first people? Am I irritable? Am I easily angered? Do I fly off the handle? Do I get resentful? Do I keep a record of wrongs? Do I keep score of things? Maybe some questions that all of us here as fathers need to ask ourselves this morning. But number two, the challenge to be a leader. And as a leader, we will avail ourselves of the wisdom which comes from God. And of course, we endeavor to lead with sensitivity. We endeavor to lead with courage, with conviction, with commitment. And then the challenge to be a teacher. The text that was read from Proverbs chapter 4 encouraged children to hear, to listen, to give attention to the instruction and teaching of the father. This was said of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And so the teacher role will, of course, involve discipline at times. But discipline is an indication of the Father's love. That's what the Word tells us, that God disciplines those whom He loves. 1 Kings 1, verse 6. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. So David never asked his son Adonijah, "Why are you acting like this? Why have you done these things?" Discipline is involved in being a teacher. So Father, we are teachers, and our children are listening to us. They are watching us. Like the six-year-old girl who was asked by her dad to say the prayer before the meal. And a number of people had been invited to their home for the meal. And the six-year-old said, "Daddy, I don't know what to say." Her dad said, "Well, just say what you hear Daddy say." That's pretty dangerous. She said, "Okay. Dear God, why did we invite all these people over for dinner?" There you go. Just say what you hear Daddy say. And that's exactly what they might do. We as fathers are to be teachers. But I think a fourth challenge is the challenge to emphasize the spiritual. He has the responsibility of setting a spiritual atmosphere in the home. He is the spiritual leader of the family, and children will learn under his guidance. They will learn about love and respect for God, love and respect for the church, and appreciation for God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." I think fathers are always looking for that teachable moment. I don't believe Moses is trying to imply that fathers are talking all the time, but they are teaching all of the time. And so when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Exodus 12 and 13 tells about the institution of the Passover. And Moses anticipates children, once they have arrived in the promised land, asking their parents, "What does this Passover mean?" Then you will tell them the story of what God did for his people. And so when our children ask, "What does this table here in the center mean? What about baptism? Why do we worship the way that we do?" We fathers need to be ready to tell them what we do and why we do it in this particular way, so that they will be firmly established in the faith. So that challenge to emphasize the spiritual. And then the challenge to be a motivator. He has the responsibility to bring out the best that he can in his children. He needs to encourage them, motivate them, help them to realize that they can accomplish something because he believes in them. A motivator in the home. And I think the challenge to be a builder. He builds out of little boys and girls, great men and women of God. He builds self-esteem in their hearts. He builds his home so that it becomes one of security and that they can always come back and find their bearings. One of my favorite fathers is the father of the prodigal son. He was approachable. His boys could come to him. And certainly we need to be approachable. He cared about his boys. He loved them when they were good and when they were not. He loved them when they left home and when they messed up their lives. And he loved them enough to let them go. His one boy was a prodigal by action and the other boy a prodigal by attitude. And yet he dealt with both of them. He never stopped caring about the boys. He used wisdom in dealing with the older boy. And of course, he was a forgiving father. So fathers, the challenge to love, to be a leader, to be a teacher, to emphasize the spiritual, to be a motivator, and to be a builder. Here are some things that we can say to dads. Dad, I got a job. No, Dad, I don't need money. Whatever you say, Dad, that's okay. I'm going to do it. Dad, let me pay for that. Dad, my room is clean. Would you like me to help with the dishes? Dad, how about letting me wash the car? Dad, I'd like to clean out the garage. Dad, tell him I can't come to the phone. I'm doing my homework. No, thanks, Dad. I don't need the car tonight. Dad, the grass is looking high. I think I'll go out there and mow it. Why don't you go ahead and make his day? I think you would make his day if you were to say some of those things that I have just shared here in that particular list. But God is looking for men who are willing to stand in the gap. That was a serious time in Ezekiel's day. I was looking for someone who would take a stand. So as I mentioned, a searching God, but there is a scarce man. I didn't find anyone. And so I believe that God is still looking for men who are willing to take a stand, who will have these kind of qualities that we have emphasized here this morning. And again, every time I come to a Father's Day, I think about my own dad. He's been gone now. It'll be 16 years coming up here in January. But I do remember one thing that my dad did try to emphasize was, you know, the spiritual. And I think he tried to impart that to his four boys as much, you know, as he possibly could. And so I always will appreciate that aspect of my dad in my own life and still, of course, think about him and remember him. And especially on this day when we celebrate Father's Day, those memories do come into my mind. And so I am thankful, you know, for my dad and for my dad being one, I think, who was willing to take a firm stand for what he believed was the right thing to do and the right course to follow. And if you're not his child, what a great time for you to become one this morning. And we want to encourage anyone here today who has not responded in faith, repentance, and baptism to think seriously about that and to make that decision to come and put on the Lord in baptism, become his child, begin living the Christian life. What a great way for you or what a great thing for you to do if you need to do that this morning. If you desire the prayers of this congregation for any reason, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. And if we can encourage you with our prayers, we want you to come and let us know that. So if there's any way that we can help anyone here today, we invite you to come right now as we stand together and sing.